Good morning, church. I read from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people are walking in darkness, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of the Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a son is born, to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thank you, God, for those words. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For your Son's sake. Amen. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and the purpose of the season is to prepare us for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Looking back to his first coming, when he appears as a baby in humility in the manger in Bethlehem, and looking forward to his second coming, when in might, majesty, and power he will return. For the remaining Sundays of December, we will be focusing on a Christmas series. And for those who are following our study of the Gospel according to Luke, we will return to Luke chapter 21 after the new year. It's interesting to note there was no celebration of Christmas in the church for the first 300 years following the birth of Jesus. But since the 4th century, it has become an important event on the church calendar. One thing I want to stress this morning is the fact that Jesus' birth really happened. This passage from Isaiah 9 I just read to you has probably been read by someone each year we have shared Christmas as a church family. I was thinking that during this time of great celebration and joy, how many of us have an understanding of this passage spoken by the prophet Isaiah. For example, verse 5, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Doesn't sound like a verse we should be considering as our family sits down to read about Christmas joy. Truth is, we all need to be rescued from the materialism, the commercialism, and the grandma got run over by a reindeer of the season. And a closer look at this passage can bring us closer to the real meaning of Christmas. This child that was born had four names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. First of all, the birth of Jesus really happened. The incarnation, the appearing of the second person of the Trinity as a baby in Bethlehem, is not an idea or concept. It is an event in time and space. It is history. These events actually happen. The Apostle Paul states in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law." It was by a woman that sin entered into the world, and it was by a woman that the Savior entered into the world. We need to remember the promise in Genesis 3 that the seed of the woman shall crush the serpent's head. I wonder what that means. This is a picture of that which is going to come when the one born of woman is the one who is going to be victorious over sin and death and hell. We need somebody to come from the outside into our brokenness and helplessness to fix what we can't fix. This is what Paul tells us over and over in the epistles. Here it is, he would say, "At the perfect moment in history, God sent forth his Son, just as the prophets have predicted." And today, just as I say, Isaiah is declaring in our passages, in our passage for us today, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Another thing I'd like to stress this morning is the importance of both testaments in our Bible, the Old and New. The entire New Testament testifies to its understanding of Jesus as the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. Without the New Testament, the Old Testament is going nowhere. Without the Old Testament, the New Testament demands all kinds of explanations that aren't fulfilled in the New Testament. Things like, what is a priest? What do you mean by king? What do you mean by prophet? Fact is, it takes the whole Bible to make the whole Christian. Now, there are many Old Testament verses that speak of Jesus. But here's just a couple. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." How about Micah chapter 5, verse 2? "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Griffith Thomas, an early leader in the Church of England, once wrote, "The Old Testament is a book of unfulfilled prophecies, unexplained ceremonies, and unsatisfied longings, all of which are resolved in the New Testament's focus on Jesus Christ, who fulfills in his life, the prophecies, explains in his death, the ceremonies, and satisfies in his resurrection, the longings. Let me repeat that. There's a lot to chew on here. The Old Testament is a book of unfulfilled prophecies, unexplained ceremonies, and unsatisfied longings, all of which are resolved in the New Testament's focus on Jesus Christ, who fulfills in his life the prophecies, explains in his death the ceremonies, and satisfies in his resurrection the longings. It's hard for us to read the second verse of our passage this morning. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and not compare it to the light that dawned on that road to Damascus for Saul of Tarsus. Paul's conversion is validated by many verses in the books that he wrote, but the one in Colossians is of particular interest. Paul writes, "For by him," meaning Jesus, "all things were created on earth and earth visible, all things were created on heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, for rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Now back to our passage for today. This brings us to Isaiah chapter 9. And here we discover that he is the true light who is coming into the world. This is approximately 740 BC, a time of total chaos. The kingdom is divided, with the northern 10 tribes fooling around with Assyria and about to be conquered. And in Judah, they are trying to remain true to the kingship of David. God calls Isaiah in chapter 6 and says essentially, "Isaiah, we're going to do some writing." The point is, there was a real Isaiah. He had a real wife and two sons. He lived in a real moment in time. God picked him up and gave him words to prophesy. Even he, Isaiah, is described in Peter as one of the prophets who was standing on his tiptoes, looking down through the centuries of time, to actually discover for himself what the meaning was of what he was saying and what he was writing down. Because it takes him way beyond 700 BC and right into the reality of the shores of Galilee and into the reality of Preston County, West Virginia, so that the unfulfilled prophecies, the unexplained ceremonies, and the unsatisfied longings are met in a child. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Christmas season, let's believe in the one the Old Testament speaks about. Let's welcome him into our hearts and homes, Christ himself. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your Bible, both testaments, and most of all, for your Son. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today.